You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Football is back.
Oh no, he's kind of right. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hans is here, back for another week ahead of the draft, joined by heroes Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, and of course, and this is, I shouldn't say of course, because this is not typically when this person is with us. Also, there was quite a bit of concern about her whereabouts, and there were, given the state, you know, recent state of news around this individual, an idea that maybe forcibly taken off our last broadcast. But no, she back.
Colleen Wolf. Connie's the queen. She is the queen of NFL media.
I never really thought about it before, but that specific tune has like kind of some church hymn vibes a bit, a little bit there.
It's like God just came in the studio.
Hey.
Well, it's the queen. I mean, that is essentially saying every other option to be the queen is below you, below the queen.
I also thought about your strategy like over the weekend that you effectively came on and did an excellent 8 or 9 minutes of podcasting.
Uh-huh.
Left a message on your phone to tag at the end. And it was like, she's still as part
Don't
of the cast.
Don't get any ideas,
No,
Mark.
She's still part of the cast.
I see where you're going with
just
this.
Just as valuable as anyone else. And I think it was just an incredible strategy from multiple angles.
For Colleen, in that particular situation, it worked for the show.
Yeah.
Don't,
we made it work.
I know you got some ideas.
I was just ruminating
right
on the fact that it was effective.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. We made it work.
But not a permanent solution for Colleen or anyone else.
Just thought about it like from multiple angles. No action steps taken
yet. Yeah, right? But, you know.
Thank you, Jason Zumwalt, by the way, reminding us. Football is back this week. 25 teams kicking off voluntary off-season workouts. So I think it's basically happening. The Jets put out, you know, a nice image, slow motion of Aaron Rodgers.
No, that's just how he walks in.
Walking into the building, and I think that just shows us football is back.
Save for like the 25% of players that are not showing up because of money issues and various grumblings.
It's just like we're back here. We've got slow motion sunglass Aaron Rodgers.
I like his hoodie though. Nice camo vibe.
I feel like we just went through it all with the Jets a year ago.
Right,
like
now
we're kind of back in the same place and nothing happened during the real football season.
Just the way it goes. It is a bit of a cycle. The entire job in a way is a cycle. It all begins anew. But football is not back. We already discussed that football is not back until after Thanksgiving. But right. If you really want to be serious about it, like next January, I would say.
Weird.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All right. Coming up on today's show. The draft is a week from Thursday. So we have hit it from multiple angles over the past couple weeks. We're going to continue to do it this week. We're going to have some guests involved. This show, though, we're going to kind of keep it in-house. We're going to talk about the players that fascinate him. In fact, this segment is called
I Love Him.
Fascinating Players of the 2024 NFL Draft. And that, let's make that the episode title as well. That's a good one, I think.
Yeah.
Put it in quotes. Can I hear that again?
I love him.
Oh, that's earnest. I think it's genuine.
It is.
It felt authentic.
That's from our Friday show, and you were talking, of course, of Ladd McConkey.
Mm.
I don't know if he's coming up today, but we already know that.
I love him.
I will say one thing that I've personally tried to put in more draft work than in some prior years.
Yeah,
and I noticed that.
We already talked Ladd McConkey. We already gave him that. So
you
it's
move
like,
on.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of other players to look at, and that's what we're going to do.
More fish in the sea to hit.
We got
to
spread the love around.
Yeah.
Dessler's got his
big old ocean of prospects out there for the Cessdog.
An entire sea.
But before that, we do that, let's hit the news.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots. Somebody. Raiders could be. You never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
That's from the, I'm unfamiliar with the show, but the Deep Cut podcast with Vic Blends, Tom Brady in a barber chair with the cloak on him and everything. I'd like to get a good look at Tom Brady's hair, by the way. And how that's looking.
Well, that was mid cut. That was definitely mid cut right there, though.
Yeah. But as Mark and I have long held the theory that he had radical work done from the neck up. If you look at him on the teacups at Disneyland and O2, and take a look at him in the later years.
Well, it's a theory, but
a theory.
One of our many cases where we've compiled evidence and facts and sourced. Various conversations over a decade plus, and there's some trenchant eyewitness concepts about what may be happening.
But the hair situation, I feel like, is fine now. It is more accepted widely, I think, among
about
people
going down certain roads.
If you're going to get plugs, it's like, I respect the guys that go completely bald and then they're like, nah, you know what? I'm going back.
All right.
And like, public figures that do it.
You brought it up, so I'm going to...
I love Tom Brady!
I don't know if Brady did that.
We don't know. I know someone directly in the show business, and he's everybody. Everybody does it. All the guys just about. Anyway, that's
not
the point. A couple things. First of all, there's a new bit of a, Greg, you know Tom Brady's voice as well as anyone. A new kind of cadence, a little white boy flow there from Brady. The Travis Kelce flow to the off the tongue felt, maybe because he was in the barbershop or something.
I think that was maybe more just he's with a younger man who's looking hip.
Well, you're picking up on that too, right? There's a little bit of a different
cadence. I missed it. I would like to hear it again, but I am curious about the consultants that are telling Tom Brady to go on this podcast. Like, how do the quarterbacks choose? Like, there's no way he knows this podcast on his own. It's like a younger...
Not a Vic Blends guy necessarily.
No, like that someone is saying, we want to be hitting the younger demo, Vic Blends would be great.
Yes.
Like, so someone is getting paid to just tell him that information. That's a good job.
Yeah. Good job by Vic Blends of Vic Spot.
The person who's telling Aaron Rodgers, he might be doing it on his own. I feel like doing less of a good job. Like the podcast he chooses to pop up on our little.
I continue to be awestruck by Tom Brady's intense desire to announce football games for Fox.
And by the way, that is the first time I heard that. I didn't take that seriously at all. I think that was a guy like having fun, and that was a little bit of us, you know, sipping tea in the barbershop, joking around. Like, I didn't take that to mean he was serious about it.
I agree, and yet if someone had called him last year, I bet he would have done it. Like, I just don't think anyone
called him. Wait a second. He was preparing for the broadcasting job last year. He was in the bunker. Okay?
Which I believe.
I mean, the fact that he brought up MJ immediately, that he's like, hey, maybe MJ on the Wizards, essentially, as he's talking about. It's like, all right.
But he'll always be in good shape.
Different than basketball.
True. Let's get into other news. So maybe Tom Brady comes back end of next year. Stranger things have happened. All right, let's move into other news, starting with Rashee Rice, who 4 days ago surrendered to police on an assault charge after a high-speed crash that went down on a Dallas highway last month that involved a half dozen vehicles. And Rice, 23 years old and coming off a very promising rookie year with the Chiefs,
involved with the incident and now involved in a legal situation that could have ramifications, obviously, for him personally, also the Kansas City Chiefs. And in the realm of the Chiefs' kingdom connected to this, the Chiefs expect, this was a report earlier today, expect wide receiver Rashee Rice to participate as they began their off-season program Monday with virtual meetings, Andy Reid said. Reid kind of didn't get into specifics on Rice's situation. He said, we'll just see where everything goes from there, referring to the law enforcement investigation. Let the process take place. So, Greg, this sets up, obviously, terrible situation. We remembered what the terrible car accident Henry Ruggs was involved in Vegas. So this brings back memories of that, and Rice very nearly being involved allegedly with something that could have had similarly terrible outcome. So we'll see what happens with the Chiefs here, who already needed help at playmaker with the draft a week away. And now you have this Rice situation hanging over everything.
Yeah, he didn't want Andy Reid said he's talked to Rice. He wouldn't take questions on him, and that he wanted the law enforcement, quote, the law enforcement part to take place, and then they'll go from there when it comes to Rashee Rice. I don't know what go from there means, but I think it's safe to say the Chiefs have to operate that they don't know what Rice's status is as a member of the team or at the beginning of the season, and that we from the outside also don't know what Rashee Rice's status is with the Chiefs. They could decide to do anything.
And it puts them back like where they were, you know, before signing Marquise Brown, and where they were after signing Marquise Brown. It's like they need a consistent number one wide receiver player from someone. And Rice was shaping up to be that guy in theory. And like, you know, a suspension can whack you for the first, you know, month of a season plus, and that those games matter a ton for Kansas City.
I mean, thank God that this did not involve any fatalities, because we would be talking about this in such a different tone. But his offseason in general went from so lighthearted, working out with Patrick Mahomes, wearing a Patrick Mahomes dad bod shirt. Everyone was laughing about it. It was fun. It was light, whatever. And then now he's facing 8 felony charges, 6 of collision involving bodily injury, 1 of collision involving serious bodily injury, and 1 of aggravated assault. Doesn't even include charges for leaving the scene. So it'll be interesting to see how the league approaches this, because obviously, in any criminal case, the league likes to wait for everything to play out before they hand down any type of suspensions or maybe he goes on leave. But I mean, it was just like, what kind of decision was he making to leave? I mean, his cars were involved in it. He had to have known that eventually, like, you can't run from that. But it's just, it sucks for him. It sucks for everyone involved. And then also for the Chiefs now in this situation where they don't know, they're in a little bit of a limbo with their wide receiver position.
I always think these suspensions too take on a bit of a different tone when there's a video.
Yeah.
Versus not. And like there isn't a ton of precedent for an accident like this involving so many people. And it's like, I don't know. We'll see what the league does.
Let's talk other wide receivers in a more on the field tone. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk, who trope alert. Remove the San Francisco 49ers from all social media.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And now everybody talks about that as a trope alert, but I feel like our podcast is a little ahead of the curve on that as a tried and true move for a player to start the process of being annoyed with this team in a public manner. So that leads to reporting and aggregated reporting. And then Ayuk's agent on Monday denied on social media a report that the star receiver requested a trade. Ayuk is under contract. He's entering the fifth year of his rookie deal. He's set to make $14 million. Connie, this is a very, very talented wide receiver.
Yeah.
Based on who you speak with, maybe a superstar wide receiver. But he's also on a team that has some high-paid players, including someone at his own position in Deebo Samuel. And the idea of a trade does not seem out of the realm of possibility.
No, and I'm sure he wants to be paid like Deebo. Even if he hasn't asked for a trade, there's still some type of smoke there. It's a passive-aggressive move to unfollow the Niners on all of your social media channels, knowing that everyone's going to pick up on that. But for the Niners, time is everything right now. Pay him or trade him to get some type of draft compensation, because his price tag is only going to go up with every single deal that's made. We'll talk about Devontae Smith coming up, but all of those extensions, I mean, CD Lamb, Justin Jefferson, like there's a lot of receivers that are trying to get paid right now, and he deserves to get paid.
His agent came on Twitter and said, you need better sources to a report. And this is why it's tricky. You got to become better if you're in this industry.
Greggy. All right.
Just reading Twitter. The report came from NFL insider John Frisella.
He could be a young star on the rise. You don't know.
But isn't working for anything? I'm not really sure. Just as a guy with has a check mark, and he put this report out, and he said it's official.
Check marks matter. Are you fake news, this guy?
This sounds too much like a media minute, so let's do it. This is Greg sitting in on the Dan Hansen's media minute. Hit it, Eric.
It's time for the latest edition of the Media Minute with Greg.
Very nice.
So I think, yeah, if you're on Twitter and you're noticing these things, you know, look for where's the employer. If you can't find one, red flag. If there's a situation where 15,000 followers, okay,
notes.
That
Start
sounds
over.
Good.
It's a checklist.
But
He's
then 10,000
no job
following.
Yeah,
that's a red flag.
That's a one ratio. For one.
And
right.
then
yeah.
if right. the link. No. To the latest work is a Blogspot that hasn't been updated in almost 2 years.
Blogspot bad.
You know, it's on you if you pass that along as info. Now, who knows?
As an aggregator.
Maybe his agent, though, is just on Twitter and saw this and he responds. And I'm glad. And there's, you know, a little more news on social. It appeared, and you can't really tell, on his Instagram today, Brandon Ayuk was at day one of offseason program, because he was like, I'm a day one type of guy, and put that up on Instagram stories, and appeared he was, you know, at the facility.
That was illuminating.
I think everything checked out.
And that was the Media Minute?
I think it, yeah.
And that was the Media Minute with Greg.
I think in Twitter parlance, be better.
I also think Brandon Ayuk is very likely to get a contract from the 49ers, and this is one that doesn't have a lot of juice to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think if Brandon Ayuk got traded, everyone's going to, first round pick. But remember, trade tax that we instituted.
Right.
I think you were in Hawaii when we finally put our foot down on this, and we're going to stop
being wrong
about
trades. Well, the veil was lifted off our eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever you think Brandon Ayuk deserves, knock it down around. So, you know, go get Brandon Ayuk for a second this year and a fourth next year. And I would do that in a second.
No, I
feel like that he's got to be worth a first rounder.
Lift the veil, Connie.
I think he's getting paid by his current team. The Debo thing went on forever. And so
I think Debo Samuel is more likely to get traded than Ayuk, but I think it would be in 2025 when Purdy gets that.
Debo is a $24 million cap hit next year. It's a $28 million cap hit this year. Wow. So.
In other wide receiver news, T. Higgins said, I quote, do anticipate playing for the Bengals in 2024. Higgins is another one he's on the franchise tag, and there was talk about that maybe he's going to be moved, but he looks forward to the season with the Bengals. And speaking of players that have been connected a lot to trade whispers, but nothing tangible, Devontae Adams of the Raiders. And he spoke with The Athletic in an interview and said, if I wanted to be gone, I'd be gone, which is pretty, and for whatever reason, that checks out to me, because he has not kind of been on the record about wanting to be part of this rebuild under Pierce, and now he is. He wants to be there. He wants to be part of it. He's excited like everybody else is around the Raiders and trying to surprise some people.
Well, yeah, and now his offensive coordinator from Green Bay, Luke Getsy, is in Vegas, so they have a little history there. And I feel like a lot of his frustration stemmed from the dislike and whatever was going on between him and Josh McDaniels, and that was, the whole team felt that way, it seemed. So now Devontae Adams came out and was stumping for Antonio Pierce. Now he's there. Feels like everything is, a little bit easier and a little bit better now. vibes are good.
See how he's feeling when Gardner Minshew's throwing passes.
Throwing those hospital balls.
Exactly. I think McDaniels was like absolute poison in that. I feel like someone must have told him, at least to quell him for now, like, we're going hard for a quarterback. It's not going to be Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew week one if we can do anything.
No, and he just moved his family there. I think he said that he loves living there. And, you know, that's an important...
So they're moving up.
That's an important part of things. And I tend to believe, like, everyone hoping for these wide receiver trades. I am, too, because it'd make draft weekend more exciting. I have never thought that T. Higgins was going to get traded. I think the Bengals are a unique organization that the way they like to do things is like, well, we'll just have him one more year. We're not going to pay him the long term. We'll just let him leave a year from now, but it's worth him to keep it for this year. And if you're T. Higgins, you could really make a stink about it. Or you could realize, like, I'm coming off a bad year. I'm with Joe Burrow. I would have to go check, but I'm sure much less than $10 million in his career, maybe like 5 or 6, and he's about to make 21 in 1 year. So if you're about to make about a 400% increase off of what you made in 4 years combined, you're not going to be like, you're probably not going to go too crazy, like in terms of not being happy, and you're going to show up and make it happen.
His career earnings to this point, Greggy?
Like $4 million or something?
Let's see. Total cash in 4 seasons with the Bengals. $10 million.
Okay. Hmm. Greg's made more than that.
I wish.
All right, let's pause right here for a minute and take a break and then get back to the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or, like, put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self, and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. In other news, the NFL, extensions. The Eagles, hey, here's your guy.
Hey.
The Slim Reaper, Devonta Smith, signs a 3-year extension worth $75 million. The Colts also get a deal done with DeForest Buckner, who, according to Colts officials, epitomizes everything that a Colt should be. All right, I guess they're happy with that trade they did with the Niners a couple of years ago. But Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
You like him, don't you?
I do. It was as soon as I walked into my family's house for Easter dinner, it was the first question on everyone's mind. What's going on with Devonta Smith? When is this deal getting done?
Really?
Guys, I
like it. What a slice of Philly life.
It's so great to see you. Happy Easter. Oh, my God. It's been like years at this point that I've seen my extended family. But yeah, it's a big deal. Everyone wants to know. Everyone wanted to know. Finally, they lock him in through 2028. So they picked up his fifth-year option, and then the extension is for the 3 years that then follow. So if you're looking at the money that he's making on an average per-year basis, the Eagles now have two of the top highest paid receivers, top five highest paid receivers in the entire league with himself and AJ Brown. But this was really smart of Howie to get this deal done before Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and Jamar and
Howie
and,
motherfucker.
Exactly. But this is what Philly does. They take care of their own. They don't wait until the last minute. Greg, you're talking about T. Higgins and how the Bengals operate. The Eagles are the exact opposite. They make it a priority to get these deals done early. So there's no discontent that sort of grows. And I think that it'll be interesting to watch Kellen Moore, their new offensive coordinator, what he does, if he does anything different with Devontae Smith now coming up this season.
I mean, the only thing there that is just coming from last year's Eagles, like, fall off a cliff.
That was last year, Mark.
I know. I'm not. I'm just saying because, like, one of the
do not talk about last year.
Not allowed. It
who
is
seemed more annoyed
memory.
Though? AJ Brown. It seemed like was so annoyed, like game after game, and it's like he has no guaranteed money after this season. So you got these dueling banjos at wideout. We'll see. But the one thing about DeForest Buckner, like, the Colts are interesting, and it's not shocking under Chris Ballard. They've signed now 10 of their own players to new deals, and I think Buckner is worth it. He can drive around in a cream colored Porsche for the rest of his Colts journey now with the money he's just made. But, like, he's like, you know, they just want to stick with their own dudes.
Older player.
Yeah.
They also locked in Grover Stewart on that line, so they've been good for a while together.
Cream colored.
And they're staying the same. No, you're right.
It's a good choice in color.
It's a continuation of a Colts trend. They have re-signed their guys more than any team in the league. But the Eagles, they do. I know you're sick of hearing how.
No, I have nothing to say on this. I will offer nothing. My stance has been made clear.
Because he technically had 2 years left on his contract, so they got way ahead of it. He wants to make more money now because he was in the fourth year of his rookie deal, but then they would add the fifth year option. And so they tack 3 years off of that, and he gets way more in the short term. But that contract goes through 2028. That's going to look like an incredible value, and he's probably not going to be very happy with that contract in 3 years, and they'll have to revisit that. And that is, it's just good business, and it's how you avoid getting into the situation that the Cowboys are in.
They have,
or that the Jaguars were in this offseason with Josh Allen, and that's why they couldn't keep Calvin Ridley. Except in this case, the players are much better. I was thinking, okay, it might be time to say goodbye to A.J. Brown at some point, too. It's like, A.J. Brown's 26 years old. How is A.J. Brown only 26 years old right now? So
that's true.
You do want to keep him for as long as possible, too.
For starters, he was born 26 years ago. Right.
I love that for the Eagles.
But Greg, they have five players under contract through 2028, including Jalen Hurts, and then the other four guys that they already signed this offseason with Landon Dickerson, Jake Elliott, Jordan Mailata, and now Devontae Smith.
I'm currently reading and enjoying it quite a bit. The Jordan Rules, written by Sam Smith, documenting the
Aren't
Chicago
you also
Bulls.
Rewatching the Jordan documentary?
Yes. Wormhole.
Okay.
Wormhole. In fact,
focused.
The paperback that I got has a new foreword by Sam Smith where he reflects on the documentary and how he was connected to it and the Bulls dynasty.
Look at you.
I found a Michael Jordan. I went and showed Walker one of my. I had some cards, some old cards that were like my better football, basketball, baseball cards yesterday. We went through them because it's rainy in LA as always. It's all that happens in LA now. Went through it. Looked through some old ones to see if I have any bangers in there. Whole bunch of, a lot of money I wasted buying cards back.
A lot of D Browns.
But had two good cards in the entire thing. One of them was a solid Jordan card that is valued around $500 or so. So
is it in mint condition? Or
I mean,
is it
probably
just
not. It's in one of those things that looks good.
Well, that's a terrible job by the youth version of you, because even back then you knew you had to.
Oh, no, it looks good. It's been in one of those things the whole time.
Yeah, you think it looks good, but if you take it to one of these nerdy card stores,
I got a
like
guy.
Mint condition
you need
is a difference.
Just saying, that was exciting to me to find this Fleer.
It was a Fleer?
I don't remember. Yeah. It was
What's your guy do?
My guy's a guy. He's a guy that's connected at the highest levels to the industry of what condition is this in? How much is it worth?
Huh.
I hope it's not. There is a guy out there on like YouTube that opens up packs of cards from like 1991.
The appraiser. Yeah.
But eats the gum too.
No, I introduced you to that guy.
Oh, well,
no.
Okay.
Junk wax Sal.
All in a haze, but remember? That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like I saw a Reggie White card, which was not worth anything, but you could see the gum stain on the card.
Oh, yeah.
The gum was.
It's called gum sweat.
The dust.
Yeah, gum sweat. It was like it already wasn't worth anything.
Anyway, Jordan Rules. I bring this up. He happened to be there, Sam Smith. He was a beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, who happened to pick the perfect year to do, I'm following this team and covering this player. He picked Michael Jordan and the 1991 Chicago Bulls that won the first of six titles. And even though this came out 30 some odd years ago at this point, it's still the same, which is it's so hard to manage rosters and manage egos, and everyone's paying very close attention to not only how much they're making in their contract situation, but their teammates. And who got what? He got this, but I didn't get that. Scottie Pippen dealt with this a lot because Jerry Krause locked him into a bad contract, the GM of the team. Anyway, I bring this up because...
it's not the only bad contract he locked into.
Little tabloids take there by Mark.
Is that a tab take?
Yeah, just go, if you're listening and you care, go research it on your own. We don't need to dive into it. I don't want to interrupt you.
Love
AJ Brown, who, you know, he's a guy that hasn't always been happy on that team. Now Slim Reaper got the bag. That could be an issue.
I don't know.
That could be a flashpoint focus.
I am with you.
Type issue.
But I also, with AJ Brown, I feel like he gets this rap for like not being happy. I think that he just expresses it outwardly more than other people would.
Is it a rap, or is there some evidence that he's been unhappy in multiple
ways? There's plenty of evidence, but I think that he just, you know,
I didn't
he
bang
likes
him.
To voice his opinion.
I like
what you're saying is
like,
there's a lot of this, and maybe there's a lot more passive-aggressive people
exactly.
in the build-in or something that are more annoying, and you'd actually rather the AJ guy, you know where you
I'd
stand.
I'd rather, like, exactly. Like, process these feelings. Let's not repress.
You're more optimistic than normal about the Eagles. Typically, there's some doom and gloom or, like, what's next around the corner. I tend to think something's around the corner.
Right. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Times change. Sports change. The guys are always watching the other guys, especially in their position group. All right. Connie, you are going to Detroit for the draft?
I am.
What is your role within the company's structure?
A few different things. I will be doing hosting DJ's mock draft the night before night one, and then I'll be on site on the desk doing some things night one and night two for the network, and then I'll be on the stage night one and night three. I've never done day three before, and it looks like...
So things get weird.
It looks like so much fun, and there's going to be puppies.
And you're going to get the puppies.
I was like, I would like to do day three.
13 prospects will be in attendance in Detroit for the draft, which begins Thursday, April 25th. That seems like it's a dwindling number that
it's
are
the
accepting
lowest.
These
it's
invites.
The lowest in years since
well,
the post-corona.
The NFL is inviting... fewer, they've said, because they're really trying to avoid.
It's another way to spin it.
Bad.
But what about
well,
all their like?
Say.
But what about all the like the fashion business before and they're rolling in their shoes
so
and their pants.
Here's what you need to know.
The red carpet.
You want the big name. So number one pick, Caleb Williams. He'll be there. Jaden Daniels, the QB from LSU. He'll be there. Drake May, QB from UNC. He'll be there. Marvin Harrison Jr. He'll be there. So there are.
Wow, he didn't do anything either. I love that he's going. Like he didn't test or do anything at the combine. I like that he's going to the draft.
Well, just wait at the finish line.
Absolutely.
But if you're him.
You seem angry about it.
No, I mean, I think it's he didn't need to prove much. We know he's good.
Finally in the news. Anything to add about that? Draft next week. That's a plug.
J.J. Yeah. McCarthy reportedly just didn't respond at all. So eventually they had to take it back.
You, as a potential future of the Patriots, is that a red flag for you? Is that a La Raville Magnifico,
no,
perhaps?
No, that is not.
He ghosted
them? I'm a little under concern.
He left him on red.
That was on the... Yeah, Pro Football Talk wrote that.
It's a power move.
The only notable player here was like Darius Robinson of Missouri. It shows you what the NFL thinks in terms of like that was a player that a lot of people did not think was going in the first round. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the 13.
But are they reaching out to people to you don't want him sitting there as the one of the one guy out of 13 that's not.
Well, they might have a higher opinion of where might have a higher opinion of where he's going than like the consensus NFL draft board. So that name stuck out to me as like, wow, he's going to be there because the rest you expect to be top 15 to 20 picks.
Finally in the news, O.J. Simpson is dead. The former running back, legendary Bills running back, who later became a figure that went well beyond football, died at 76 years old after a bout with cancer. And I think it's worthy that we, even though this happened a few days ago, it didn't line up with our show release. I think it's worthy to talk about for a couple reasons. First of all, this is around the NFL. And O.J. Simpson, as a football player, was one of the most popular and beloved players in the history of the league. He ran for 2,000 yards, the first guy to ever do that in a 14-game season. And we have a lot of listeners that are either, A, too young to know what went down in the mid-90s around O.J. Simpson, or are not from this country and don't understand what O.J. Simpson and the murder case and the subsequent trial, what that was about in this country. And that became the biggest story, really, of the 1990s. And when they talk about trial of the century, you hear that thrown around a lot, but that really was the trial of the century and everything around it. So the idea, Mark, that OJ now is gone 30 years after he was acquitted of that double murder is certainly noteworthy and was a major figure in like where we our ages.
Yes.
We have a totally different outlook and viewpoint on everything. So now that he's gone 30 years later, it's pretty wild.
I'll just hit like a couple this was one of the more personal news stories because it was as like cable television was becoming like the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, I really wanted to be a journalist back then and be in sports. And it's kind of forgotten that when it happened during the Knicks like Rockets.
The car chase.
The car chase is unfolding. That in LA, there were people, once it kind of got going, lined up on the streets with like poster board signage. I'm supporting. Like everyone just thought that OJ was under duress and probably right. fine. And then like
the juice is loose and things like
that. Yeah. And this was like a 24-hour-a-day news story, which was interrupted for nothing. And they had to throw it at one point from a sports angle to Bob Costas, who was covering the NBA coverage. And
your guy.
I had hours and hours and hours of tape of OJ in like fun OJ mode back when he hosted NFL Live with Bob Costas. They became very good friends. This is weird, but I was actually working at that summer camp during all this, and I was home when all of the chase happened.
Camp Happiness. You went back to work.
I went back to work, but I had, I have two little more things, but like, I had this phone card, because back then you just, either a payphone there, and my friend Peter Acton back in watching the news, I would call him for like an hour a day to get updates on what was happening with the trial through the rest of the summer.
Wow.
And I never got charged on this card. I called the magic card. And then I was going to American University the following semester. I was like, I made hundreds of hours of calls. And I went to American University, and fast forward 1 year, on October 3rd, 1995, when the verdict came down, and there were people, there was like, we think we know what's going to happen, but we don't. And I was in this gigantic student center, and the verdict came down, and it was a shocking verdict. And then the lights went out in the student center, and it was like a windowless, gigantic conference type room. And like the lights went down with hundreds of people in there screaming, shouting, and it was like a totally pitch dark room.
It's like the end of the world, and it was the rapture.
That's what I remember. Then a week later,
this is traumatic.
I got a bill that channeled from like AT&T back to my parents' house, and they sent it to me, and it was like for about $1,400 in phone charges that I was being charged for 2 years later. So
2 years later.
I digress, but there was a lot of weird moments back then because people tracked this story like no other story.
The bill always comes due.
It comes due, and it came due, sort of. Not really for him.
That documentary, the five-parter.
OJ Made in America.
Oh, my God.
Got to check it out if you're curious about this.
It was so good.
So good, and it was great perspective for us or for me about everything before that.
Yes.
About who he was and what he, and I knew him more as like the guy from the Naked Gun more than anything. I mean, I knew he was like an NFL, great. But that puts it all in perspective and the perspective of the country. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
That's what how I like look back at it now as an older person, as a 14, 15 year old when it happened, 3,000 miles away in the suburbs of New York. Like it looked like it couldn't have been a more open and shut case. This was a man that was a horrific abuser of his wife. And there was a mountain of evidence. It's like, obviously he's guilty, but it turned out how the long shadow of Rodney King in this city and how that came to directly connect to this case and the lack of justice for Rodney King and how that impacted the black community, King and his family, how that then led to, in the opinion of many, Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman not getting justice because of the way the anger that's still and the lack of trust around the LAPD. It was, you learn so much about the country and the issues that are part of this country since we started, how it went on. So for our generation, Rodney King and OJ are for what a younger generation with George Floyd was about, where it's like, wow, this is continues to be a big part of what our country is about, and it's underneath everything. And it was as big as it gets. The biggest story of our lifetime, really. I mean, outside of maybe 9/11, obviously. But
yeah, I was nine when all of that was happening. So I didn't have a great frame of reference as far as OJ as like the player, like Greg mentioned, I knew that he was a legendary figure. I had watched him in like commercials and movies and stuff like that. But for me, it just like looking back on everything, it just feels so gross how a double murder became pop culture and like for so many people. And it just had a life of its own.
I also was taken just that he was this figure that was, you know, because of what he did in the trial was a larger than life in a way that's hard to describe. And yet here he is when he dies. And it was just really interesting to hear the like sort of the different reactions. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, you can still go and you can look at O.J. Simpson's bust. It's up there. They flew their flag at half mast for O.J. Simpson. They released a statement just about his life. Didn't mention the trials in the statement. The Buffalo Bills, you know, who he's really associated with, didn't say anything. You know, they didn't release a statement. They didn't do anything. His name is still up there, though. You go to the stadium,
yeah,
it's up there in the wall of fame. So, and I don't even have like a judgment or like a hot take on that. It's kind of crazy to think that all these years later, and then that a lot of the reaction I feel like to him dying was like silence, at least from the people, like from organizations and stuff. And there, I don't think there is a right answer, but it was interesting to see how different places approached it.
Yeah, and the 30 years, just to kind of underline it, 30 years after, like, you know, the frustration for many people is like, he got away with it. But like also to know a little more like who OJ was, he was such a gregarious, outgoing personality that everyone loved. He was, you know, maybe the first black athlete in this country who was kind of accepted in like corporate America, Madison Avenue. For him to live in this like purgatory for the last 30 years and be seen by many as a villain and a ghoul, he ran away from the civil judgment, ended up going to Vegas to escape that in Florida, escape having to pay the Goldman and Brown families. But he kind of led the rest of his life as a, you know, kind of a grotesque curiosity to people. And while I don't think that's true justice, I think that for him, that probably was a pretty terrible way to end the rest of his days. So O.J. Simpson, 76 years old. Let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, welcome back. So yes, the draft is coming up in a week and a half, and we're trying to give you every angle on this thing. We're going to have more experts in the field a little later in the week, but from our vantage point, let's talk about some guys as we're doing the research that we're fascinated by. I think that's powerful. In fact, this segment is called
I love them.
Fascinating players of the 2024 NFL draft. And that is the voice of Mark Sessler. He was referring to wide receiver Ladd McConkey. But that's not where Mark is going here. So let's start it out with the Sess Dog. Who's got you fascinated?
I wanted to go defense because we focused on a lot of QBs in the top 10 picks here. And there's probably only like one defensive guy in there and a bunch of wide receivers. I started to look at edge rushers, and Florida State's Jared Verse, 6'4", 254 pounds. He just looks like an old school football
player. Say that again. I'm writing this down.
6'4"?
No, his name.
Jared Verse.
Jared Verse.
V-E-R-S-E.
I love him.
Senior. This guy, there is one clip that I will send out at some point where
please
he bull rushes like a 320-pound left tackle when they were playing Louisville and like basically like takes this guy and throws him like a child back and back on his feet and finds a way to shove the 320-pound left tackle into the quarterback, grabs both of them, throws them to the ground, and he's doing this all the time. I know that he's not looked at the number one edge guy right now, but I think he's a total punisher. He is just intensity. He's got speed. He gets around tackles with these traits. There's moments when he's sacking like a quarterback. Sometimes like you see guys that need to use, if they're smaller, they're a cornerback, they need to use their body at full force. He's able to use his hands just to drag guys to the ground. And I think that you look at like quarterbacks over and over on some of these clips, he's coming from the blind side and he destroys them and the ball is separated from them. They're thrown to earth. And I think it changes the game. And I think that he could go right away, become one of the more terrifying guys at the position if he can stay healthy and pick up from here.
He is ranked 14th in the Daniel Jeremiah most recent NFL draft prospect.
And the second best edge rusher right behind Dallas Turner. A lot of people have them 1 and 2.
I think that depends what teams, how they would want to use them. Because yeah. I watched a little Turner, but Jared Verse is just more my type of player.
And I think that it's going to be very interesting how this first round plays out because all of the top 10 really is going to be dominated by offensive players. So when does that defensive run start? Who's the first team to
Atlanta.
Take a defensive player? We will see if Verse, now the Falcons as an example, they have not had a premium edge rusher of note since Greg Johnny Abraham. So maybe he fits that mold, but there are many teams. In fact, most teams looking for a big time edge rusher and Verse might fit the book.
He seems like a complicated one because he wins by his strength and mine's connected. So I'm going to just transition to it. I love Laiatu Latu.
Damn it. That was my guy.
Probably like,
ooh,
you know,
sorry.
Consensus boards might be the third defensive end or third edge guy, which seems a little shocking to me. Verse, he's exciting. He's actually the type of guy I usually like, which is like, it's all about strength, but it's a little worrisome when you're 250 pounds and you're all about strength. Like, is that going to work? Like, maybe not as like refined. He's also 23 years old. So is Latu. But Latu's story is just so crazy that he literally could have played in the premiership for professional rugby.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about it, that he was that good. Decided not to do it. Probably is getting taken so late because he had to medically retire for a year because of a neck injury that knocked him out. So he was out of football for 2 entire years. And so I get it that maybe you're not going to go in the top 5 or the top 10 because of the medical issues, but when you just watch him, he just seems like he's the best defensive player in the draft. It seems insane to me, like the types of moves that he has is like, and he's 23 years old, so is Verse. They're both a little older in terms of prospects, so you want him to be a little more refined or whatever, but it's just like a walking pass rush, like led the college football in pass rush win rate, like does everything. He just looks like, to me, like a TJ Watt, maybe not as explosive, but just like that he would step in there. And I'm almost surprised, but who am I? Like, yeah, I look at...
You're Greg Rosenthal, damn it.
I get it, but I look at like the beast. Dane Brugler is great on The Athletic, and he has him third, and he has him as a below Verse, as like a late first or to a second type pick. So maybe I'm totally off base, but I look at him, it's like, that's the guy I freaking want. He looks incredible to me, and it's just the injury thing, which... you know, you're going to be worried about, but he was on a recruiting staff in Washington where it was him, the top three recruits was Puka Nacua, Trent McDuffie, and him. It's like, okay, they went 2 for 2. I feel like it's going to be 3 for 3, but he might end up being the third guy and taken after.
The way that he pass rushes, like, it's not just speed. It's so much skill that he has. And at his size, what, he's 6'5", 265, he moves like such a smaller player, almost like a wide receiver kind of does. And yeah, he won 2 rugby national championships. I actually talked to him when he was on Good Morning Football.
You mentioned him on this show, I think, once.
Yeah.
Now do you feel bad that you took him for her?
No, no, no. Listen, we're sharing. Purpose.
I would not have gone first either.
Yeah, but it would have been cool if you led with Ema.
Yeah.
It would have been nice.
She's adding how would I have known? Individual nuggets.
I watch every Colleen episode, so I knew.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah?
Ask
what else,
anything.
What else happened on that episode?
Laughs were had, and analysis was aplenty.
That's a great descriptor right there.
Not wrong.
That's good. But yeah, the fact that he was told he would never play football again after suffering that neck injury at Washington, and then he was cleared by UCLA, won Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year last season. He's 16th on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. Like, he is a Bob Marley fan, so there's no character concerns there.
Well, there might be other concerns.
Not for me. If I'm the GM, let's
well, there
go
was
get
a little
our guy.
A little sprinkling of, like, is this a little sprinkling out
bros.
There of, like, like, not the how much does this guy love football. I was like, how much more do you want him to love football? He literally was told, like, he shouldn't ever play again. Because of a neck injury, and he decides to pass up pro rugby too. It's like, that's the ultimate. You love football.
True.
Don't love a neck injury.
Don't love
no,
it.
No, that's but, concerning. You know, but he did just play it. 2 years.
Yeah.
No injuries.
And he's been medically cleared.
So, and I'll use an example. There are many examples in the past with players that come out of college with injury question marks, and it leads to them fall a little bit down the board, and then you go and you grab them, and you might end up with Rob Gronkowski. In a good case, or you could end up with, I don't know, D. Milner in a bad case. Like, you just, it's a bit of a gamble that you take, and he would count, I would think, as a gamble there, but certainly has the skill set and the desire. Right.
Polynesian football player of the year.
I like those two. Those guys are built tough. Polynesians.
Laiatu Latu. It's fun to
They're
say,
men.
Too.
When men were men. Whatever happened to Gary Cooper, go check out Polynesia.
I
That's
happened to, when I was in Hawaii, I happened to have stayed at a house that was less than a mile away from the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame.
No way.
It felt like, you know, I'm all about ball.
So you went Hawaii, because it's so such an easy hop, skip, and a jump to go visit it.
I sort of did. Actually, but not on purpose on some level. We went and there was just like a variety of stores and shaved ice and some food in the same complex that it was at. But since we were there, took a spin through. The Rock.
I thought I'd catch an inductee
of the 2024.
Oh, you got to put in Johnson. Got to put in Johnson.
Did you see Vaisika Hema in there?
Probably was. I'm
gotta
sure
put,
he was.
Got to put him in.
Yeah. All right.
Connie, you're up.
Who is in there?
Tarion Arnold.
They put him to us?
I love him.
I would wait it out.
Or maybe he was just like their player of the year. I don't even remember.
I'm just kidding, Dolphins fans. Jesus.
All right. This guy's not going in the Polynesian Hall of Fame. Tarion Arnold. Love him. Cornerback from Alabama. He's really good, really talented.
Can I just say one second?
God damn it!
Not to interrupt you.
It is a chore to speak on this show.
But can I just say, Mark, one of the reasons I love you is I don't know too many people that. Can I hear that again?
You can interrupt all you want if you're going on this road.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I love him.
That's that tone.
I sound like a child.
You sound like someone that's a sensitive, that's coming from a real place.
Well, it was after a moment of trying to
passion.
You kind of were like in a playful way ribbing me because of he's not Polynesian either.
No, well, Zach Zenner All Star.
Yeah,
and yeah, Colin.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. We're good. We're all good now. You sure we got it all out? Okay, good. So let me tell you about Tarion Arnold.
I apologize.
I love him.
Oh my God, I'm done. I'm leaving. So I would say Tarion Arnold has the absolute best personality in the entire draft. Mm. And I will die on that hill. Like, I don't even think it's close. He is
Funny man.
Total showman, but he doesn't try. He is unintentionally so funny. Mm. And then on top of it, he has almost Dion vibes. Like, he's really good. And he has this like confidence that doesn't come off as like rubbing you the wrong way either. It's like a very special, charismatic way he has about him. And I've listened to so many interviews with him. We also had him on Good Morning Football. And I wish that we could have talked to him for all 3 hours because he was just such a fun hang. Like, he was really, really cool. He's been rising up draft boards and honestly, Common Man rankings too.
All right.
Because he spent summers working with his granddad at a roofing company all over North Florida.
So
you're talking about like Florida in the summer. He said that he learned discipline, structure, consistency, persistence, and that he didn't want to be a roofer. So he was like, I am all in on football. He is also like just really easy.
Second place in terms of workplace fatalities as a professional.
Very dangerous. Roof. Extremely dangerous.
But he survived.
Only
he survived.
Truck driver.
He survived.
Or worse.
Yeah. And you know what? That just goes to show you that he's someone who will take risks and he is responsible and he has maybe faced some adversity and gotten through it. But he's also super easy to root for. Max Preps put out this tweet that he went back to his high school to give his janitor this Christmas gift, which was his jersey, because his janitor had asked him when he was in high school to give him his jersey. And he thought that like the janitor maybe forgot. So he went back and visited the school, visited his janitor, brought some gifts for him for Christmas. Like, he seems like a really great, good, fun, genuine guy. He comes from a good big family. He said taught him to kind of like never be late, because if you're late, then like, you got your last pick in terms of like the resources and dinner and seats and like whatever else. Yo, is going
Wessling
on in the
house dynamic.
Exactly. I was actually thinking about Wes when he was talking about it.
Although the Wessling mother would just toss the steak down the steps.
Right
the
down
basement.
The basement. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's
tied to a brick
here. Tied to a brick. I forgot.
Well, I'm intrigued by this person. We should get him on the show.
Tarion Arnold. You should. Oh my gosh, you guys would love him.
We'll either be the first or likely the second cornerback taken. Either him or Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo ran a little bit of a slow 40, which I think had teams concerned a little bit. Those Alabama guys, though, not to paint with a broad brush, they just seem like they come out as like pros.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're like
they come in as pros and like very relaxed.
I agree with that. I think also when you watch his tape, he's dealing with like LSU half the time and like real schools. Like he played top competition and like he had 17 passes defense, five picks. Like he's a rugged dude. He doesn't miss tackles.
Yeah. Anybody been up on a roof lately?
But see, truck drivers, Greg, I think there's a lot of fatalities.
I was wrong, though.
They fall asleep. Like if you fall asleep on a roof, that's not
fine.
That's
just inherently dangerous to be on the roof.
Logging workers is actually even higher. Roofers, number two.
Been up on a roof lately?
No.
Not lately.
Have
but
you?
I
have. Oh, yeah. About once every 6 months or so, every year around Christmas.
Clean out the gutters? What are you doing?
Not a
there?
Gutters issue because we don't have a tree above the property, but I do have Christmas lights.
Oh.
I put up. I had to go up there to put the, you have to put the, it's like a cage you put on top
on
of
the
chimney.
Yeah.
And if you want to get an idea of your, how fragile your mortality is, get up on the roof. And you realize immediately, I have like a 20% chance to die right now.
Or like,
and this is how it's going
to
happen?
East Coast, when you'd have to go shovel snow off your
roof.
Like,
what am I doing up here? This is
awful.
Extremely dangerous.
I used to.
Whatever happened to Gary Cooper?
Maybe Clemson will send you a second football for this handiwork that you're... that you've maybe successfully pulled off.
Now it's on the radar.
When I was in high school, the room that I had in the house that I grew up in had like, it was in the back of the house. It was the only one. And there was like a little bit of a roof, but there was a fence off to the side. It was the escape hatch. And it was also like a meeting spot. So like people, like it was like people would come and visit me at the window.
Did you throw down your hair?
Knocking on my window at night. Yeah.
Is that how the boy that was holding onto your car as you drove away?
No, that was college.
I have one, but here, listen, you don't want to hear from me. You want to hear from someone who
watched this
loves
tape.
It. He loves it. He lives and breathes it.
Tape dog.
He's a little bit, he's a wild card, but he will give you information that is sometimes just spot on. So I put a call out to the west side of Cincinnati and tracked down Brad Spicer, known as the Spice Rack.
Peppermill.
Spicer. He's not going to be happy with that.
What, isn't it Spicer?
Spicer. Okay. But you've given him a nickname, potentially.
He
so.
Gets it. Spice Rack. Let's hear from the great Brad Spicer.
Hey there, everybody. Dan Hansis wants me to introduce myself as if you don't already know, son. It's the Spice Rack of the Mountie.
Adding video was a choice.
Here. All right, Zeus wants me to give you three videos, three names, but you know what? I'm coming with seven names. Deal with it. My first guy is Quinyon Mitchell. Never heard of him, quite honestly, before 2 months ago. But he's a first-round corner, like a mid-first-rounder. a corner from the Mid-American Conference. The one thing I did was I looked up to see if he's like 6'4 or something and he's a project. Then it's okay, maybe he could bust. But he's 6 foot. I saw that he has long arms, but 6 foot 190. He's not a physical specimen. This ain't Sauce Gardner. But if you're gonna go mid first as a corner from the Mid-American Conference, you got my vote. I know you're gonna have a serious chip on your shoulder. Once a walk-on, always a walk-on. You know, Baker Mayfield walked on at Texas Tech and Oklahoma. And while not the best quarterback, certainly someone you can go to war with.
There's seven of these?
I don't know if this one went too long. Don't edit me!
That ended strong, except for the 45-second detour to Baker, which sort of seemed to disprove his point.
Toledo cornerback Quinyon Mitchell. From, I call this Spice Channel, by the way. This is,
ooh, that's good.
Yeah, so we just threw it to Spice Channel.
It's a ring to it.
Which, you know, if you know, you know. One of those things.
I'm with Spicy on the logic, though. To be that small and from Toledo, and I think he's going to be the first cornerback. I think he's likely to be. You have to be an incredible, incredible player.
Let's take a break, and we'll go through another round.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Welcome back to Draft Corner.
Very nice.
Good.
Right. Really on the spot.
You're
so.
A broadcaster. Yeah. That's what it is. All right, let's go around the horn again. We've heard from everyone in the room. I deferred to Spice Rack, who I thought it was a pretty good start.
Great start.
Yeah.
Great start. Spice Channel is up and running here on ATN. Mark, let's hear somebody else.
Here is someone that I know someone else in the room has a fascination with, too, and Greg. Cooper DeJean, cornerback from Iowa.
I love him.
This dude is interesting. Like, I'm not sure where he'll go. I'm thinking kind of like I think the Colts are a good target in the mid-first round, potentially.
Is that a little Mark Sessler mock draft tease right there?
It might be.
Coming up next week.
It might be. He is... I just think he is, like, an incredible athlete that does all sorts of stuff in today's NFL. He also offers incredible return skills, but I just want to read this. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic went and kind of did a feature on this guy, and I just want to read the opening paragraph.
I'd love to hear it.
This pulled me in. In western Iowa, along State Highway 175, sits a town of about 900 people. There's a bowling alley and a drive-in restaurant. Ode Bolt, Iowa is named after a Frenchman who lived alone more than 100 years ago along the creek that runs through the village. It once was known, but apparently no longer holds the crown as the popcorn center of the world. It's about 70 miles away from both the Missouri River and absolutely nothing. It's also home to a unique prospect in the 2024 NFL draft, Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean. If you watch this guy, I just would believe this is the kind of guy I'm like, I just want on my team. The Steelers are going to go get him.
McConkie of cornerbacks.
But the Steelers going to get him or the Ravens or something. But he is so fun to watch. And I get it. Like, cornerbacks are just, they're all coming in like different shapes and sizes. But I don't know if he's necessarily like big enough, strong enough, or has the movement skills in some ways, like the lateral movement to do what he needs to do. But I see evidence of a guy who can contribute in a lot of different ways.
I think he does. And I think you got to look yourself in the mirror. But I think people immediately being like, oh, is he going to move to safety? Does he play nickel? It's like, this guy was one of the most explosive playmaking cornerbacks in college football for years. And your first instinct is, oh, well, maybe move him to safety. Look in the mirror, bro. A little profiling going on with Cooper DeJean.
Well, interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
I want to say Cooper DeJean every time I see his name. I know it's DeJean.
One little thing. Like, this is the kind of athlete he is. Like, he scored over 1,800 points in basketball in high school, threw 78 touchdowns as a quarterback, won a state title in track in the 100-meter dash, and in baseball was a pitcher who had, like, a two-hitter as a junior. He's not athletic enough. He never stopped playing sports.
Reminds me a little of Kyle Hamilton. I feel like there's some guys in every draft. It's like that the NFL overthinks, and like that everyone agrees on is great, and then for some reason goes for Aaron Donald was kind of one of those guys.
Yeah,
this is crazy. Everybody knows you don't see a lot of white cornerbacks in the league. Not since Jason Sehorn, who retired in 2003, has there been a white quarterback who consistently played the position. And could he be a first rounder?
I think they're like.
And Sehorn was a second rounder, so
I mean his profile would indicate he'd be a very high pick, and I think he will. Yeah. He'll be a first rounder, but you know,
getting mocked the Colts over and over.
Cooper DeJean, Iowa cornerback, Greggy.
Okay, this is a tough choice. Powers seems like one of those guys everyone's overthinking too. I feel like we're gonna hit Drake May so hard, and I love Drake May, and so in terms of just having that feeling that Mark has about
I love
player.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's me on Drake.
That's
May,
who you want the Patriots to
But get. For this assignment, I think Michael Penix is a better choice because he's just
I love him.
Fascinating prospect. A guy who was, you know, in college forever. Like, yeah, 6 years. I mean, it's a little outrageous how long he was in college. So I get that. He's older than everyone. But incredibly consistent. And the type of guy that I feel like if it was 2005... would maybe be the first or the second quarterback. And we're just like looking for different things now, like just throwing the ball. And I know he's built very different, and there's a million things that are different. It almost reminds me of like Carson Palmer when he came out. Just people were just like, my God, look at that man throw a football. Like, this man was born to throw a football. And that's Michael Penix, except he's a lefty. And I was expecting, because of all the knocks on him and why he's not going to necessarily go in the first round or whatever, that he'd be a total stiff. But he's not. Like, he can move. He can make throws on the run. And I do think all the negatives that he has, like, you saw him in the college football semifinal dispel all that. And people can say, well, that was one game. But it's like, if you can do that in one game and you have NFL training and week, you know, there, you have that potential. It's the kind of how people overthought C.J. Stroud last year, saying, like, he doesn't do enough playmaking. It's like, you saw it in that one game. I'm not saying he's C.J. Stroud. I just think, like, leadership, mental toughness, all the intangibles are supposedly off the charts. And he's a guy who just, I think if you asked all 32 GMs, just like in the pocket, who throws the craziest ball down the field the furthest, the prettiest, it's Michael Penix. And so to me, I'm just curious like what kind of career he's going to have, because he just feels like he's boom or bust. But if he ends up on a team like the Raiders, he could be playing right away. And he just seems like a fascinating guy. Maybe they're seeing things I don't see. And I know he's a little erratic with the accuracy here and there. But for the most part, like, seems like he's got what you would want.
He fits the Raiders. And I just don't care if he's like a year older than someone else. Like, if he's good for 5 years, like, the Raiders have been waiting for that for an eon and plus. So I know that we make so such a big deal out of that.
And there's
an advantage to being older,
because it's, is it the last COVID year where you got that extra year that you could just stay? Because he surprised people. He could have come out last year. He'd already played 5 years, and he decided to come back.
So we talked about injuries.
Yeah, his injuries are...
He had four season-ending injuries at Indiana. Four! Yeah. Before he transferred to Washington. This game's, you go up a level, and the guys get bigger and faster, and you get older. And he's not Brandon Whedon old, but he turns 24 next month. So that would spook me, honestly, more than anything else. Like, that's a real concern of his durability at that position.
I'm just saying, in a world where Mac Jones went 15th, like, what, this guy isn't going to go top 15?
Go watch him with Roma Dunze, because, like, the two of them, we talked about this on the wide receiver episode, that, like, it just seemed like Rome's tape is, like, there's, like, 440-yard catches paired with Penix. Like, he can wing it downfield.
Yeah.
He profiles a little bit as a guy that you guys will get annoyed of me overrating because he's so good at throwing the ball, and that he actually settles into like a mid-level starting quarterback that is up and down. But like, that's still good.
I mean, he's going to be a 25-year-old rookie, so he's going to be a little bit older. But that
I
also,
have 24. You have 25?
I think his birthday. Check to see when his birthday is.
I think he's turning 24.
Dan, almost a gray beard.
Okay, so I'm aging him.
Never gray beard. No, he turns 24 next month.
Okay, so 24-year-old rookie. But I was talking to Lance Zierlein about him, and he was talking about how when he watches his tape, he doesn't take sacks. He'll get rid of the ball. He's not really great, like, moving around the pocket. So those are just some of, like, the flags that he sees. But he's got a really strong arm. Yeah. And he's tough. He's
smart.
Sounds
fun.
And he's a good leader, too, apparently.
He's got a howitzer, some people say. Mm. I actually haven't heard that. I assume at some point someone
and he quoted Geno Smith on the podium after winning the Pac-10 championship, which to me made
Greg, you had done it. You convinced us with a really like delightful sales job, and now you're taking it to very still places.
And like Geno, he was widely thought to be a first round pick. Some people believe he can go into the second round as well.
He
so interesting. Connie, how about another one?
All right. Well, I wasn't initially going to go here because I feel like all we've done is talk about this guy, but legitimately, this comes from a place of total fascination. Mm-hmm. I really, really am curious how Caleb Williams is going to be in the NFL coming in with the NIL money, because we haven't really seen this before. We haven't seen someone make the amount of money that he has before heading into the league, going into a locker room of veteran players, who a lot of which have not even made close to what Caleb Williams has made. I just don't know how it will work and if some of those egos will kind of be an issue when he does play in the NFL. Like, if they're not winning right away, I don't know how a locker room of like older veterans is going to take someone like Caleb Williams. And this isn't Caleb's fault at all. It's just the way that the league has changed now with NIL money in general. And this is going to be how it is going forward in general with these drafts and with the players coming out of college. It's just a switch and a change. And I just wonder how that transition will be, because it's going to be so, so different. And with his personality as well. Like, he's a very gregarious, like very confident type of guy. You want that in your quarterback. But I just wonder if it will rub some players the wrong way, and then how that will kind of play out.
If he can ball, I don't think any of it matters.
Exactly. If he wins, no problem.
What you're saying, it's true. It reminds me a little bit of like they used to get these $50 million contracts as number one overall draft picks, and it was awkward. It's like Sam Bradford was making way more money than anyone else on his team.
Well, that was ridiculous.
and it was crazy. But it took me a while to actually sit down and watch Caleb Williams. It's like, you get it. He's to me, like, he can make,
I love him,
not just every throw, but just like he knows exactly what throw to make at any time. I mean, he seems like the best prospect since Andrew Luck. Like, he is so good. It's just outrageous how good he was in a tough spot too last year. That, like, if he's like that, it's like Andrew Luck. Like, I think you could have a million different leadership styles. If you're that good, it doesn't matter.
Very fascinating. Yeah. You just don't know. You don't know how these guys are going to be till they actually play. And look at how the first pick went in the draft last year. Not to write any eulogies, and then you look at the second pick and how that went.
This feels as can't miss as possible.
All right. It is time now. Coast is clear. Let's flip on the old Spice Channel.
Spice Rack here for round two. And I'm going to stick with the chip on the shoulder theme. And talk about Jared Verse from Florida State.
Here we go.
This guy is
how about that?
Transferred in from Albany to Florida State. And okay, that's a big enough jump, but then he dominated. And, I couldn't even tell you what he technically does against the run or anything. You know, I don't know any of this stuff, but
don't need it.
He's got the big enough body, a big enough body to support the run. And certainly can get after the passer. And again, transfer from Albany. You carry that chip on your shoulder the rest of your life. It doesn't matter if you're you're a first-round pick. It does not matter at all. And on the same team at Florida State, Keon Coleman. Every time I check a mock draft, a wide receiver, big and athletic, all that stuff, natural touchdown scorer. Every time I
focus,
what is happening?
He just looked away.
See a new mock draft. He's been dropped to 40th, 50th, 60th. I'm a third rounder. What are we talking about here? I really don't know what the issue is. If his 40's not that great, that's fine. Because you need to watch him once to see how athletic he is. Contorts his body and all these, you know, sort of a, he's got some Mike Evans to his game. You know, not as big and physical. And listen, Mike Evans, best underrated player this entire generation. So,
is
I'm not silly out here.
Okay.
I don't
know. Does he need help?
Will catch touchdowns in the NFL. Hansus, how long was that video? Spice rack?
That's a little too long, but.
Round of 3.0.
I want to know. I think everybody wants to know. I thought the video length was okay, but you kept looking behind.
And we're just Spice rack.
Is he on the run?
Is someone
Well, you said
you?
You let him know relatively last minute about this, and he needed a little extra time. And the production value is great. He's wearing an Ohio State jersey.
Not off sure, the charts.
Not sure who it is. But
he's on a football
he
field.
He seems like he's on a football field. And then, yes, he's looking behind him as if there's maybe a team that wants to use the field or something.
That was the delay. He drove 2 hours to a football field to do these videos. Yes, he's wearing a Bengals knit cap. You can check this out on YouTube if you've always wondered what the Spice Rack looks like. But I hope there's no one following him.
I just say this because we spent the latter half of last season combining on our weekly picks for NFL Media. The Sess and Spice team went roughly like 78-6.
Iconic. Yeah.
Wow. I think it was like 78-6 was our record down the stretch.
It's weird
like,
you guys didn't finish even in the top five out of a top.
It got bad enough when I reached out internally to see like, are these guys in last place? And the guy that runs it behind the scenes, I can't give you that info. And I was like, ooh.
Well, because that would have been incorrect. Because like I was also told by text on a weekly basis, like these are the most entertaining. This is like kind of the core entertainment aspect of these picks that come out is like what you guys are cooking up. But listen, like so... Jared Verse, like we're in lockstep right there, and
that's great.
Spice Rack nice. Has a pretty pristine record when it comes I to prospects.
And Keon Coleman is an interesting guy that like people thought in October was going to be like a top 15 pick. And yes, it has kind of become the trendy thing that like, is he really athletic enough? Can he be like? Are you going to have to put him in the slot because he's just like this big guy who can't win on the outside? And some of those guys haven't done well in recent years. But then again, like. DK Metcalf and AJ Brown fell to the bottom of the second round.
And his cousin is CeeDee Lamb. Little fun fact.
Cool.
Mike Evans, what do you call him? The most criminally underrated player of the generation? Interesting. Good conversation piece. Good seg idea there, Spice Rack. You didn't even know you did it.
Criminal, yeah, underrated players. That's good.
Let's take a break, and we will be back with one more round.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, we're back. One more time. Let's go one more time around. Go on, Mark.
I'm going to save my running back stuff till later because I like a couple.
When later? Because we are...
Later in the week.
Yeah,
oh, be still plenty not today.
Yeah.
I'm saying don't bank it for later in this show because this is it, my friend.
No, no. This is... Yes, we got started late. It's certainly a time.
No, independent of that, it just feels like time for
right, I'm
your
surprised
last pick.
We're going
whenever the two
again.
Of you are ready, I'll be happy to offer another player. You just let me know when you'd like that to happen.
Your final
I'll
choice.
I'll wait for you to tell me.
Your final choice.
Okay. I'm picking someone that probably doesn't go early in the draft at all, like more mid rounds. And like again, it's just like, I don't know, you're watching 100 like
mid round banger from the Cessna.
A linebacker, Notre Dame, Maris Liafau. And like this is because I was looking
I
up.
Love
like, here's how I try to just search players. I was like, who is like the toughest, nastiest hitter in the entire draft? And this guy's name kept coming up over and over. So then I went and watched him. And it's another guy. It's like my old Browns. I'm like, this guy's just going to wind up on the Ravens or the Steelers, and he'll start as like a backup rotational linebacker, but then they won't be able to keep him off the field. Like, I mean, he has like an aura of complete and total ultra violence to him. The speed, it's kind of like, I think the linebacker position, even like when you're young, it's like, who's the kid on the team can like then suss out, seen through a bunch of bodies, where the ball is, where it's going, what's happening with the play. And he has like a laser beam heat seeking ability to get to it. He's really like his speed. He's a guy that can go kind of like wire to wire across the field. If like a quarterback's trying to scramble out, I'll never forget when Johnny Manziel in his first start against the Panthers, we were watching Wes and I were watching it on a Sunday, and Manziel, this like lauded speed guy out of college, tried to get to the edge and some Carolina Panthers defender just like ran over and blew him up. And you knew that Johnny Manziel was never going to be good in the NFL. You just knew it. And this guy can do that to quarterbacks, to people on the edge. Like, there's just something about his game. And he got, PFF called him the hardest hitter and listed, said that when he comes downhill with bad intentions. And that's how I would label him too. He's fun to watch and it's going to be hard to like keep him off the field, I think, if he can stay, because he's not a huge guy, but he's 6'2", 234. He's fine.
I was not familiar with this man.
Me either.
I went to go check. Dane Brugler at The Athletic has him as the number 15 linebacker projected 5th to 6th round. So this is a deep... He has him as the number 2 linebacker from Notre Dame.
I like that, but every draft you have to find people like this, right? Good. I mean, so I don't know. I just like him. I want to see where he goes.
It's a hot and cold review from Lance Zierlein on our NFL.com draft profile.
I don't doubt it. Like, I said he's...
Mark sees
he's,
violence.
He's a mid-round guy, but like the way he plays, he's going to like... He's the NFL is almost like scared of his playing style, I think.
Mark's got that soft side.
I love
that we heard.
Duality of man.
The soundtrack. But
D.O.
I love him.
Mark also knows violence.
Loves that too.
Yes. Loves it. I'm going to go more basic and just Brock Bowers to me is another guy that maybe everyone's overthinking.
Time for some Bowers talk.
To me, it's just it's fascinating that like he would not go early, in part because he's been so good from the minute he showed up. I mean, a guy who can show up on the national champion team and as a true freshman, like dominate against Alabama and lead them to a national championship and put up numbers. And people are like, well, you know, Kyle Pitts hasn't worked out. And all these first round tight ends, like that hasn't worked out. Like that's just, this is from the same people that would say sample size issues when you're talking about a guy who throws 90 to 100 pass. This is like, it's just a couple different picks.
In fairness, Greg, I don't think people are saying after what happened last year when we had a lot of impact tight ends coming.
Right.
That's a little bit of that narrative has been put to bed a little bit. It's,
okay, but I think they're pointing out that the guys are, that was in the second round. You can wait. And like if Sam LaPorta had been a first round pick, that makes him somehow better. Just anyone that can show up and have three seasons where you're the number one target. Ladd McConkey's great and all, but like Brock Bowers was their number one receiver for three straight years on an elite, elite team. And he produced like crazy every single season. Like, why don't overthink it? Like, I get the whole like contract thing of like tight ends, you're not saving as much money because if you take them 12th, that actually is a contract that's similar to a top 5 to tight end. Like, that comes into equation. It's like, but if you're right, it doesn't freaking matter. You have to get the player right. That's more important than everything. And after you get past like 5, 6, 7 players in this draft, I don't think there's a player that you'd be more confident in is going to be a plus player. There just aren't many tight ends. He reminds me of Tony Gonzalez because there aren't many tight ends that make you miss and you can run over them. That's two. You just don't see that. That like even Rob Gronkowski can't really make you miss. Like he can make you miss and he can run over you. That's pretty special.
Let's go New York Jets.
How would you
if the Jets took him? I think that'd be great.
Well, to like what we're just saying is like Jets fans that are old enough, you're spooked by it because the Jets have had bad luck drafting tight ends high in their history. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that was then. This is now. He would certainly be a scheme fit for the Jets at 10 because if Rodgers can play, if you added an athletic playmaking tight end to that group, look out. They would be very difficult.
And Kyle Pitts was a special prospect. Like Bowers had more production in his freshman year than Kyle Pitts had in any of his years. And then he backed it up with everyone knowing it was coming, like two straight more. That, I don't know. It should matter.
Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked number 7th overall. Bowers, Jeremiah says, and maybe we'll talk to Daniel about this, reminds me a lot of George Kittle, and I see him having a similar impact in the NFL. Well, sign me up.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Let's just make it happen.
Connie.
Okay.
One more.
Let me tell you a little bit about Rome Odunze.
Okay.
I love him.
Wide receiver from Washington, and I also picked this because he's been mocked a ton at 9 to Chicago, so since I talked about Caleb, these two could actually be paired together. If Chicago stays in that spot at 9, doesn't move back, but he, 2023, first-team All-American, Biletnikoff finalist. He started at D-end in high school before switching over to wide receiver his junior year. He was an incredible sprinter on the track team in high school, won the 4A state title in the 200 and the 4x100. But I loved when he was 6 years old, he created a Facebook account with all of his mom's information. And for his occupation, he listed quarterback in the NFL.
Gotta like it.
And
all
here
of
he
his
is.
Mom's information?
All of his mom's information. You know what?
For this the sign up, here's the email.
Gotcha.
You
okay.
Need.
All right. Yeah. I was thinking something.
This
we
is
go.
Resourceful okay. yeah. in my eyes.
Kind of just need the email. Everything else.
Sure.
Like you can just
you've cleared it up.
Bluff your
right.
way through.
Right. I haven't used Facebook in maybe
because
10
you create,
years.
Okay. So you create the account, but you do need an email account
is
to go
like
activate
space?
Things. So you need to go, you have to travel off-site to activate with a link, I would think.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Rome also spent summers on his grandfather's dairy farm in Utah.
Rome?
Mm-hmm. No, when he was younger.
Cool.
But he would work right alongside Grandpa Wayne on the farm. Now, he was named Rome because apparently his dad just really liked the Roman Empire. Yeah. That's
it had its merits and
out.
Also its drawbacks.
And he ended up
definitely
going...
a thing that like guys in their mid to late 30s get fascinated.
What is that?
Yeah,
he watched a lot of 300.
I would say it harkens back to like elements of our society that are missing certain like male.
Gary Cooper, anybody?
Yeah, Rome would say like, oh, it's a bit of a more raw time. You're not dealing with a bunch of nonsense.
Nobody's afraid to go on the roof. In Rome.
No.
That's fair.
Put me on the goddamn roof.
I mean, get hit with a bow and arrow, but...
Give me a sword, give me a shield, put me on a roof.
See, like, when I think of Rome, I'm not thinking about, like, Roman Empire and, like, gladiators and like, fights at the Colosseum. I'm thinking about pizza and pasta.
Oh, there you go.
So,
well, they had that, too.
Yeah.
Back then.
Quite good.
So, Rome Odunze.
Just think of the lack of, like, tooth care back then. I mean, just said to me.
Oh, Greg always does sort of like, oh, you're dead by 32. It's like, yeah.
You're dead by 32. Like
you
four of your eight children died by the time they were two, and you had to just like
dysentery.
Bury it. You had to bury it all.
Rome Odunze is the number 3 prospect, according to DJ. And he reminds him of
I love him.
Larry Fitzgerald come out of college.
Ooh.
Give me all you got.
There's an incredible stat that PFF put about it. Because like, if you watch him, he's like, it's contested catches. He's
no,
like,
give
uh-huh.
it to
nasty.
Me. Get dirty. Get dirty with the numbers.
Stop
what?
It, Greg.
No,
it's
we
football.
Need to not have that
don't
drop
take it
ever
somewhere else.
Again.
Eric is on fire today. Like, he caught 75% of his contested catches this past season. And in when they've tracked 417 seasons, that ranks 6.
Mm. That's good.
Good.
I want you to, can you play the Greg drop and then straight to the Spice Channel for the last time?
No, give it to me. Get dirty. Get dirty with the
oh,
numbers.
No, God.
All right, Spice Rack here with video 3.0. Just to list the rest of the guys on the list that I like. Michael Panics, lefty quarterback from Washington.
This one's really long, by the way, you said. So.
Complete field general, great down the field.
Field general.
I love it. More agreement.
Athletic, yes. Like, but give me that guy. Ricky Pearsall, slot receiver from Florida.
We talked
about
Ricky last week.
Just a monster in the slot. Even though he played plenty outside, which I think will help him.
Imagine we saw a guy running
in the slot. Every time I saw him, that's all I thought. This guy's going to be
from behind with a knife.
Slot receiver.
I don't want to imagine
Bean.
That.
He's going to kill you for talking over
came
him.
Came into Kansas as a quarterback.
You did
Jason Bean.
After a year or two, was sent to
Bean Dog.
To wide receiver. And every time the quarterback got hurt, he came in and played great. And, you know, he's almost 25, late bloomer, but he's also someone with a second chance at life, basically, as a quarterback. So
I like the backstory.
I'm rooting for him, but he's big and athletic, and I mean, he's a good player. Definitely likes throwing deep, too. Always a fan of that.
Nice.
Harrison Nevis or Mevis, however you say it.
Sassy.
He got mad.
Zeus, this is your favorite prospect in the whole draft, for sure. Monster kicker.
Yes.
Saw him kick a 64-yard from Missouri. Saw him kick a 64-yarder right at the gun to cash me a nice money line. I can't even remember who they were playing. But Missouri was like,
sure, Greg got a text.
Cody Schrader, running back Missouri. Big Missouri day, everybody. Ozark was a wildly overrated.
Beautiful day
show.
In Cincinnati, it's by ridiculous. The way. You hear that?
It's gorgeous.
Ridiculous.
Birds
but Cody Schrader was like a Division III legend.
Wait, did you guys just hear him call all these Ozark records, a wild
all these yeah. like Division III Heismans and tried to come up to the Division I level. He did not get a scholarship to the very end by one team, Missouri. And he led the SEC in rushing two straight years. And, man, I could be wrong about that, but I think it's something like that. And so just I'm rooting for that guy for sure. And, again, no bigger chip on anyone's shoulder than Cody Schrader.
Keep going.
All right, my last guy is Jordan Travis, quarterback, Florida State, gets hurt a lot. Or at least suffered a catastrophic injury in his last game.
Brutal. Brutal.
You all right?
Well, all right. No, that's not right. But he suffered a catastrophic injury to end his season.
Don't laugh, Greg. Stop.
And... But he was coming along great.
What?
I thought that was the end.
At Florida State, and then started coming along great and just looking awesome and sort of getting that second chance at life almost too, because he was almost left for dead. Like he wasn't, no one was looking for him to be anything special, and then he really bloomed the last 2 years. So rooting for Jordan Travis too, and he's athletic, but man, he got folded up in that last game.
Oof.
All right, that's it. Again, I'd like to thank everybody, but especially Mark the Cess Man, Cessler, Cess Spice Forever, everyone else. Never or most of the time.
It's good we waited till the end there. See? Good programming.
Hey,
and I agree.
Happy. Thank you, Brad.
I agree in reverse,
way.
By the way.
Peppermill.
Thank you, Spice Rack. That was incredible. Jordan Travis in the news, by the way, taking some visits at Tom Pelissero, the Pellraiser mentioned. But I thought that was excellent, and I like that he likes guys who have a second chance at life. I think he likes the underdog story.
That's
an
angle.
I think that was something him and Wes bonded over. Oh. I think Wes looked at it like a late bloomer, someone who fought his way out of where he was in life. I think him
sure.
and Spice Rack.
I like that. That's
I liked everything except the Ozark heat. Like
never seen it, so I can't
really?
Comment.
I mean, he
took it down, yeah.
He had a... I talked over his prestige television hot take, so that could be an issue for me and Spicy. We've had issues in the past.
He's going to fume at you.
Yeah,
He's going to see it, and rightly, as a sign of complete and total disrespect.
I don't think that's
fair. Depending on your point of view.
I think that's unfair.
Not your point of view, his.
But by that logic, Dan has disrespected everyone. You know, I probably have.
Not by his point of view.
Can we please keep in mind... Cess Dog, that Spice Rack being on today's program was not you, Cess Man, it was me. So what better act of respect for the Spice Rack than me having him on the program today?
That's, you could spin
I value his input.
You could spin it. Oh, wait, again, it's all
Thank
comes
you.
Down to point
Clemson.
Of view. It comes down to point of view.
Send me a football.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Thank you to the Spice Channel. Always entertaining. We will be back on Wednesday with more football talk, more draft talk, some more guests as we get closer and closer. Jesus, take the wheel to the 2024 NFL Draft. Connie,
yeah.
You've said it all, and yet you have one last opportunity.
To say more things. That's
yes.
great. I love you guys. And actually, I
Ditto.
Like when was the last time we were all in studio together? It feels like a minute. So it's nice to actually be back with all three of you
mm-hmm.
in studio
mm-hmm.
and no real tech diffs on my side, at least today.
Locked and loaded.
There we go.
Miami.
Connie in the studio is never a concern. She's going to give you high effort. She's going to give you quality.
Always. Yeah.
And I'll be on time.
Ow! Yeah. What is that?
Oh, no. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Until next time, you know what you got to do. Feed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.